Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix. How is your sock drawer looking? Maybe it's time for some spring cleaning. Well, Bombas just dropped soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place. And you know what? I just did it. Once you try Bombas, you are not going to look at socks the same way because they are obsessed over details. They have these anti-blister tabs and cushioned footbeds, so your feet feel great. It's like walking on little pillows. It's amazing. I love my Bombas. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head on over to bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers at checkout. Hey everybody, today's live episode of How Did This Get Made is brought to you by our friends at Squarespace. That's right, Squarespace is the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For a free trial and 10% off, you heard me right, 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code June, that's J-U-N-E, at checkout. Because a better website starts with your motherfucking website! All right, today's episode is a live episode, which means there might be some audio distortions. There might be some things happening that are more visual than the normal podcast. Guess what? Deal with it. If you want to see us so much, come out and see us on September 20th. That's a Saturday at Largo in Los Angeles. Go to largo-la.com for tickets. Our first show is sold out. Our second show, there are tickets still available. If you are coming, the 8 p.m. show is the Mariah Carey classic Glitter. And the 10 p.m. show is the soon-to-be Miley Cyrus classic, LOL. You're welcome. And by the way, LOL is only available on Netflix until 9:15, so watch it now. Oh, watch it. All right, so enjoy the show. We'll see you at the end. Imagine Black Swan if it was directed by Sylvester Stallone with music by Frank Stallone. We saw Staying Alive, so you know what that means. Hello, people of Earth, and hello, people of Los Angeles! We are here tonight at Largo, our home in Los Angeles, with an amazing audience. You just heard them. And we have a very, very exciting show. It's appropriate that we are doing this show in a theater because this is a show about theater. About the art, the craft of dance. And we are going to talk about this movie, but we're going to do things a little bit differently tonight as I introduce everybody. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my co-host for the evening. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas! June Diane Raphael! This is the end! And special guest, Katie Tiffo! That was the dulcet tones of Frank Stallone.
I have seriously nonstop been listening to that song.
That song should be called Nonstop. It is relentless.
It is an amazing, it's a beautiful song, and I'm so glad that we
I'm going to play that when I have sex next. I'm going to be like, hey, give me just 1 second. I'm done. Ladies.
When I heard that song, and like I had heard it like in things that were making fun of Staying Alive for so long, that I was like, who wrote, I thought, is that a Bee Gees song? And then I realized, No, how much Frank Stallone stink is all over this movie. 7 songs of Frank Stallone.
Thank God.
Frank Stallone, if you do search him like I've been searching him, his album cover, he clearly couldn't decide.
You're making that documentary Searching for Frank Stallone, right?
He lives in a studio in West Hollywood. So he, but he couldn't
with
make
his mom, Jackie.
He couldn't make a decision on his album cover to put on the leather jacket. So it's just over one side of his body. It's a pretty great album cover. Welcome.
Oh, guys.
This was a dream.
I watched this whole movie just in awe.
Yeah.
Like, just my... Yeah. I hated it, but I also wanted to live that life at the same time.
Like,
it
was...
There was something disgusting about it, but it pulled you in 100%. Yeah. The movie makes no sense. We should just get out.
Oh. It doesn't.
It is...
But to open with a chorus line...
Oh, yeah.
To me, is just like... It's a dream come true.
I'm going to say something that is perhaps not controversial at all and has maybe been said a million times before, but I did not know because I have never seen this movie before. This movie is Showgirls. This movie, front to back, is the movie fucking Showgirls, only without as much rape.
I was thinking about this
movie. Oh, it happens in Showgirls, guys.
I was thinking about this movie too, and I also felt like
that
were like the reason
Bolton
why Stallone
character.
Directed it. Because I feel like he was also trying to make it like Rocky too. Like it felt like
it's
Rocky.
Dance Rocky. It's dance
yeah, a
Rocky.
Dance Rocky.
Yeah.
But
dance
I
Dance Rocky.
Very rarely.
Just failed on Broadway, I believe.
It did. It closed very quickly. I was like, very rarely do I know that I'm going to love a movie from literally the first second. And this movie, you can't beat it. I mean, here, this is just so you get a chance to see what the
I would honestly be okay with playing the whole movie. If you were like, let me just show you 1 second, and then we just watched the whole movie.
This is only 20 seconds, but you'll get a sense of how electric the opening is.
You will come.
You're going to want it longer.
You will come at second 7.
Here we go. I'm in love. I'm in. I'm 100% in.
And I'm done.
This is the opening of the movie.
Because it's how you want to see dance movies. It's how you want to see a dance movie in tight close-ups.
Every step-up movie can suck a dick because it does not start like that.
They also did the thing where there's an audition sequence and it lasts 10 seconds and the director's gonna be like, we'll let you know tomorrow. It's just like, dun-dun, dun-dun.
That's it.
Okay, goodbye.
Well, okay, so... If we can, well, should we dive in?
Yeah,
should we
please. Dive
in? Okay, because in that sequence, they choose the girls right there. Because they cut a lot of girls and they choose their girls. And then the guys come out and John Travolta comes out and the director says, I'm going to need 24 hours. And I'll let you all
also,
know.
The director of this, just interesting to note, Kurtwood Smith, who clearly, I did a little bit of research, was just in Rambo with Stallone. So I'm sure he was like, we'll get him in as the choreographer with no lines.
So I was confused from the beginning because I wasn't clear, even from this opening chorus line sequence, like what his problem as or Achilles' heel as a dancer was. Like what was holding him back that he wanted
himself.
But in what way? Because was he was going off on his own and improvising?
Yes. Okay. Improvising.
Wait, no, no, no.
Yes.
That he was improvising?
Keep playing.
I only have a couple more seconds. Oh. Wait, oh, so wait, his improvisation? I thought he just couldn't catch the breaks. I didn't get that he was improvising.
No, people keep getting cut. People keep getting cut. It gets down to like the final few guys, and then he jumps off and does a couple of like doodly-doos on his own. And the next time, doodly-doos, I was a dancer. And the next time he's cut and he's like, oh, God damn it. But he learns a very important lesson and does the exact same thing in the finale and wins the movie.
Can I say something about his character journey? And I don't know if I can articulate this correctly. So there's this new hot thing that he's into, and then there's his girlfriend, this poor woman. This poor woman.
She is. God understand damn it. This relationship.
To call her a girlfriend is being generous.
Really generous.
She is the doormat that he is like booty calling when booty calling meant, can I find a payphone? And is the person
horrible.
Literally home to answer a landline.
He was literally
horrible.
Fucking a girl. Finishes fucking her and then calls the other girl. I was like, hey, can I come over to you now?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No, so he keeps having arguments with both of the women, and it seems like it's a story about a character that's, you know, he wants something, but he's demanding it from two people and he has to learn his lesson. Like, that's what it seems like. Okay. But I don't know that Sylvester Stallone was in on that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it almost felt like if Sylvester Stallone were to give a log line of this movie, it would be like, oh, these two broads are giving him a hard time. You know?
Right.
Like,
he just wants to dance and these bitches be weighing him down. Right.
I think you're right, because not to cut ahead, but the last line of the movie.
Oh, wait, you're going to get into that?
I know that's far ahead.
I love that you all reacted like, don't spoil it.
That last line of the movie is a treasure chest that needs to be opened.
But in terms of his journey, he's by himself at the end.
Yep.
Just simply strutting.
Yep.
You know, so that is his journey. Like, it's not really about fixing any of his flaws.
No, it's about learning to tell everybody to fuck off and just do his own shit.
But the crazy thing is like, I do believe it was directed, like, Stallone wrote this movie, as he writes every movie, and apparently he wrote it and... is this the movie where they wanted to take his name off it? No, that's the next movie. but Stallone wrote this movie, but I feel like he wrote it from like his perspective of like, I like to fuck girls, and if they can't get behind me fucking multiple girls...
This is literally what happens at the end of the movie. He's in the final dance number. He has ascended through the ranks to be the lead of, I don't know what this is on Broadway. I don't know if this is a show that exists
Broadway.
On
I've seen
Broadway.
So many Broadway shows. I don't know. I've never heard of Satan's Alley.
This is some sort of nonsense. This is like some sort of Moog fantasy jazz nightmare. I don't know.
But was this ever a thing? I mean,
were there plays like this?
There was called Satan's Alley, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But this was like a showgirls show. It looked like a showgirls like
review.
The
dancing is just like sped up voguing, Madonna voguing. It's like.
Yeah.
Fanning each other's face.
He's
and by the way, the same dancing from the opening is in the end.
Yes.
There's not like, oh, that show is different.
They're all the same show.
Yeah.
He ascended through the ranks. He's already triumphed. He shamed the dumb guy who danced like a robot. He's the lead. His mom is so proud. But what he has to do in order to truly succeed is take the British girl who is his partner in the show, throw her in the garbage.
That happens.
He picks her
it happens.
Up and throws her away. Then you think, okay, he's choosing his girl. He's choosing the fuck buddy. And he's like, all right, babe, I love you. I love you. And she's like, we did it. And he's like, yeah. And he basically face palms her down and is like, I'm fucking out of here. Kicks open the door. I win.
I was looking at, I was looking to Satan's Alley to see if it would provide some insight. Like, if Satan's Alley was going to be, if he was going to have a similar journey as a character in Satan's Alley.
Yep. Well, he is a
Christ-like
figure.
Did you make sense of Satan's Alley?
Okay.
June thought it was a beautiful play.
I love
I thought
Satan's
the
Alley.
Book was great.
If you go back to the source material. But see, the thing with Satan's Alley is that he starts off as I think a Christ-like figure. And there are all these demons coming after him.
For sure, he's whipped. He's in a Christ-like pose at one point. Yep.
And then Satan comes to get him.
Which is Fiona Hughes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the British
from
woman.
From General Hospital. And she, but see, then he pushes her away. And that was a move that he, you know, improvised himself. But then at the end, they still end up together.
No, he ends up. He ends up. No, he's now.
Wait, oh, in Satan's Alley.
At the end of Satan's Alley.
Oh, I apologize. I apologize. Yes.
At the end of Satan's Alley.
So this is a Satan's Alley kind of talk, right?
Well, I think, and I'm not trying to give Sylvester Stallone credit here, but I do think that if we look at Satan's Alley as sort of a microcosm of what the whole movie was,
which we should be.
Okay. I think he ended up, you know, in hell with the devil and didn't learn anything.
No, he doesn't.
And if he had,
this is what I think. Go ahead.
If he had learned anything, instead of reaching out to her, he would have pulled up Jackie to take that solo.
Great, and I love that. But he is rising up out of hell and casts his hand down.
I'm listening.
Casts his hand down and says, jump. The Christ offers his hand to the devil and says, follow me to heaven, and I will take you out of hell. She is doubtful. She's a doubting Thomas. She jumps and makes it in her arms. He thrusts her over her head because Christ wants the devil to get to heaven before him.
Because Christ turns the other cheek.
Yep.
He forgets about it, but... because he'll take the devil.
The biblical allegory here is very obvious.
By the way, the audience seeing this very, very modern dance show is all oldies. There's nothing in that, and they give him a rousing like a standing ovation. My biggest question about Satan's Alley as a show is they do the first number, and it seems to me that we see all the cast out on stage in that first number. Then they all kind of take a break after that first number, and they're like, you fucked up. You go over here. Like, what was going on stage? It wasn't the intermission yet. The intermission is a later beat. I just was confused about where the show, what was happening.
Well, on stage in those scenes were the B story of Satan's Alley.
What's happening there?
I wish Jackie was. I loved Jackie.
I love Jackie. Well, here's what's weird, too, about that production of Satan's Alley. The director, when he casts him as, you know, Jesus Christ, says essentially, like, I need you to channel your anger and your fury and your emotions. And then when he does... he says, you just need to dance the dance. Which I found confusing.
Good point.
Also, it seemed like the director was given this huge monologue at the end, as though he was a character we knew at all.
You
don't know this person?
The only way I knew that director was that he dressed like Zod from Superman 2. And that he might have just been a villain from another realm coming here to fuck with New York City. Before he attacks Superman, he's like, I'll direct the Broadway show, get in Metropolis's headspace, and then I'm gonna do a bigger thing. Right now, I just need to regain some power.
And Jackie's haircut is a little bit like the lady in that movie as well.
Yes.
Zod's lady, short hair. Yes, thank you.
Is that the blonde lady?
I had a friend who was her stepmom, and she said she was a real bitch.
Can I take us back to a moment?
Go ahead.
If I could take us back to a moment. There's a moment in the beginning when John Travolta is like, has a lot of self-doubt, and he's looking to this poor girlfriend for, like, to feel better. And he says, like, you know, I can't remember what he says, but he's feeling bad, and she's making him feel better. And then he's like, don't you ever want to, like, do more, like, push yourself harder? And she says something along the lines of, you know how it's different for a female dancer. We have half the life male dancers do. And his response is just like, yeah, I guess that's true. And he does not make her feel better. It just goes back to making him feel better.
Okay, I agree, because I did have the thought at one point, why aren't they auditioning to replace both of them? Like, she's helping him practice to get the solo or to get the lead part. Like, why isn't...
Yeah.
Why don't they both go up there together?
I do also want to just talk about the bigger concept on all of this, because this character is a stalker at points. He's a chauvinist, always. He's an adulterer, I guess. I mean, or he's a cheater. Like, he's everything bad, but he's definitely not the character from Saturday Night Fever, right? Can we all agree to that, right?
I vaguely remember.
Go ahead, okay.
I don't...
Well, just the well, you talked about the ending of the movie when he struts to the song from Saturday Night Fever, and it's like, oh yeah, this is supposed to be from that movie.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Well, that like that's the two.
But
the,
remember,
he walks by the Odyssey because that's where he used to dance all the time. Right. And
but
a
remember
gay club,
that at the end of Saturday Night Fever, they rape that girl in the car, and someone jumps off a bridge.
Yes.
So like that kind of darkness and weirdness is still woven in here.
But like you did not leave. You did not leave Saturday Night Fever going, oh, that man wants to be a modern dancer on Broadway.
No.
Like, that was not
green.
Like, it was just like, oh, he's a good dancer, and it lets him, like, get out of his, like, his life is troubled, and girls are getting raped, and friends are jumping off bridges, and he can at least go to the club and live a little bit. It wasn't like...
I will say this. I was a solid 30 minutes into the movie before I realized this was the same character. From Saturday Night Fever.
Well,
literally.
He also has lost his accent, and they make it like, well, now he's in Manhattan. Manhattan is like over the bridge. Like, he says at one point, he's like, hey, don't get apple pies like this in Manhattan. It's like, you walked here.
Okay.
Can
we talk about that?
From the other spot.
Can we talk about that? Because he's at home, he goes home, he has doubts. He goes home, he wants to see his ma, and they're sitting there eating breakfast, which is pie. And she's trying to push, have another slice of pie. And he's like, I don't want another slice of pie. Have another slice of pie. I don't want another slice of pie. And it's this weird, and she's kind of pushing it on him. And it's that weird scene that I feel like a mom of an anorexic is trying to get the anorexic to eat a little bit more. And it's weird. And then he finally is like, I will have another piece of pie. And he picks up the pie plate and brings it into frame, and there's only one piece left.
Yes.
Which means they've eaten a whole pie for breakfast.
That's how they do it in Brooklyn.
Which I thought was very insane.
Wait, I think I missed something really important. I left the movie still not understanding where she made her money.
Who?
Laura.
Laura.
Oh, you're right. That was never answered.
I agree. 100%.
Yeah, Laura is Fiona Hughes from General Hospital, and General Hospital is wearing fur coats, being driven around in limousines.
Whose limo is this? Whose limo is this?
Yeah.
Does anybody know whose limo this is?
And it's never answered.
Never answered.
Never
there's like
answered.
There's the sugar daddy looking guy.
Right.
Right. Who he runs into that guy. She's clearly been with the director, but then at one point
the director,
says,
by the way, is all beard and leather jackets. Really, is that?
I have no problem with that.
Hair.
No problem with that. I was like, that's the part I maybe would have got. But I did feel like then there's somebody says a line that they think she has money. She came from money or something.
She came from money.
So there are a couple of things posited, but I don't know. And I agree, it's ridiculous because her wealth obsesses him.
But modern dance, you would make a lot of money in modern dance.
Twyla
right?
Tharp,
like,
got,
yeah,
got
I mean, you
very
make,
rich.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars
no,
a week.
Alive. She's still alive.
I gotta say though, Paul, I don't know that they're doing modern dance.
Well, I don't know much about dance. What are they doing?
It felt to me more like jazz.
Oh, jazz.
How much do you know about dance, man?
I don't know a ton about dance, but. I think modern
you know more
dance
about
is
dance
like
than
a lot
you do about
more
gorillas, for example.
I think so. I just thought it was more. You keep on calling it modern.
I think it's not more modern.
Like, I just don't think those head shakes are. That seemed like very jazzy.
Without getting too out of control, does this thing have a name, audience? Contemporary.
Contemporary. All right.
Contemporary dance.
Like if you saw this now, would it be a valid art form?
Like, I think when, here's the thing. I think when people are like, all of the dance numbers, at least in the auditions, were like 5, 6, 7, 8, and then like a line of people would run up to the stage. Like, I think that running is like all, I think that's jazz though. I don't think that's modern.
Okay. Well, we'll clearly never know.
Okay.
It felt to me, those were the scenes that I was like, this feels like a Vegas show to me. This is what Vegas should... That's why I felt like it was Showgirls, because all of the show elements felt that kind of cheesy and Vegas-y.
Yes. Nothing delighted me more than imagining Stallone approve all the costumes he was wearing.
Do you think that like Stallone and Bob Mackie sat down and he's like, not this, yes to this?
Yeah.
I would love to have seen that meeting. Apparently, Stallone and Travolta worked for a year and a half on all the dancing.
Oh,
wow.
A year and a half.
There was a lot of dancing.
Yeah. I mean, it showed.
That makes sense, yeah.
Can we talk about the scene in the movie early on where Travolta is, you know, he's dancing, he's teaching dance classes at like an Arthur Miller kind of dance school. He's also like a waiter in a dance club.
Oh.
And he turns down a three-way with two new wave girls?
Yes.
I was like, whoa, 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 guy. When two new wave girls are like, we want to take you home tonight, you go home with the two new wave girls.
This was favorite part. Yeah. They wanted so much to show how much he hated being a waiter and how much he wanted to be a dancer. He was the angriest waiter ever.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a point a patron bumped into him and he's like, oh. And a woman said something like, I like watching you walk. And he basically was like, fuck you. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
Angry guy. He's an angry guy.
But walking is his thing. There's
Jason,
two movies
strutting,
built on walk
strutting. Strutting is
I'm
his
sorry.
Thing.
You're right. You're right. You're right.
But look, he didn't want to go home with those new wave girls because, as he said verbatim, I almost got brain damage because you two party too hard.
Please. Come on.
But no, he wouldn't cheat. That's what I think makes, like,
so
in Stallone's
weird.
Mind, he's like, he's a good guy because he won't fuck these new wave girls. He'll only fuck really good dancers. Like, you know, like, when he cheats, he only cheats up.
Well, that's what was so weird about his relationship with Jackie. At one point, I thought, because he forgets to call her to meet her, I mean, a million times in the movie.
Constantly.
A million times.
He treats her like human garbage.
Yeah, well, so much so that at one point I thought, I think he is genuinely forgetting. Like, I think that he's just like, it's not even like, oh, I got caught up and I, you know, I knew, I did lost track of time. I thought I was going to get to you. Like, I think he's like not remembering at all that she exists.
But
like,
that, like, to me, like, that was my, I thought that too. Like, it took me half the movie to realize that they were even boyfriend-girlfriend.
They're not. They are fuck buddies.
Jason, she
and
says
until
I love
he says
you
I love you in the middle of the movie, they are just like hooking up.
But he gets mad when she's looking at
Frank
Stallone.
Yeah, he's
jealous.
She gets mad and she gets mad.
She gets mad, but he's like fucking the British girl who for a very brief period of time I thought was Niles' wife from Frasier.
Maris?
Perry Gilpin?
I was like, is this Perry Gilpin? No, is it Perry Gilpin? Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Jane Leaves. Sorry.
Perry Gilpin was Roz.
I love Roz. One of my favorite characters.
But to your point, like, he literally just fucks that girl, the British girl, and then calls up the other one, but then it's like, it's kind of like a booty call. But
no, but he kind of is just making sure she's alone.
Yeah.
He's like, he's like, is anybody there next to you? She says, no. He goes, okay, goodbye.
You're right.
When he first meets the hot fancy lady, he looks to his girlfriend.
Iggy Azalea?
Sorry.
I requested that music follow everything
I'm okay
I said.
With that. I'm okay with that running under the whole
show. The whole show. I hear it on a loop.
He's like a sociopath. He's talking to his girlfriend, this poor woman, when he sees the fancy lady, and he immediately says to her, he's like, she with anyone? And the girl is like, what? And then,
but she says, I don't want to hear about this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he's like, I just think she's a great dancer. Don't worry, you're good.
It's
so horrible.
It
like,
horrible.
To me, this movie, he's a monster. Like,
it's horrible.
Irredeemable. On every level, irredeemable.
Well,
like,
his
girlfriend helps him. Helps him get the lead in this show. And he, like you said, he fucking facepalms. Was like, get out. Need to go at this by myself. Tonight I'm celebrating with this guy.
Oh. And anytime another guy shows interest in her, he like shits his pants.
Yeah.
Like when the guy from the band comes in, is with her, he's like, who's this? He's a musician? You're with a musician? Are you kidding? Like, wait a minute. On the hierarchy, we're ranking dancers above musicians.
That's what I wrote that down.
Chorus line
whoa,
dancers.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, I don't think that's how it works. Yo, and then she goes, he's a rhythm guitarist. That's the worst. A rhythm guitarist is the worst.
But
it's not true. That is not true.
Here,
the horn section is the worst.
Wait, now here's my question about Frank Stallone's amazing role in this movie as the rhythm guitar, as the singer. Okay, there's so much I want to talk about a couple things. Sorry, I'm going to jump around. I didn't get what Laura's job was. So Laura was on Broadway, but also a singer?
Yeah.
No, you're speaking of Jackie.
Oh, sorry, Jackie. So she was on Broadway wanting to be a dancer, but
She's in a show, the show that they are that he goes to watch.
Right, but he's also like, I need to also...
Because, I think, to Katie's point, she understands that a dancer's shelf life is very short, so she's trying to get some
She's trying to cultivate a fallback
ladies,
career.
Yeah, that's yeah. right.
Well, if this career, life as a dancer doesn't work out, then I'll be a rock star. Great, yeah. got it.
Awesome.
Very logical,
By the way, I gotta say, she's killing it at both.
Yeah.
She is great in the movie. I'm on board for it.
Well, do you want to see who also is in the movie? I want to point this out to you.
She's wearing, though, like a corporate 80s outfit.
She's dressed like Hillary Clinton. This is a little of her singing.
Which every song in this movie is showed from beginning to end in real time.
If you took out the dancing, this movie would be about 17 minutes.
And every single song that is sung in its entirety is so relevant to the events of the movie that it had to have been written that day to make sense. Like, every song is so specific, there's no subtext. It's just a textual analysis of the events of the movie
that
put to
is
music.
That is why Frank Stallone is so good. Here, I have...
Only Frank Stallone can begin a movie with a song whose opening line is, "This is the end."
I want to come back to "This is the end," but I also want to... I have two blow-your-mind cameos. The first one, you can't see it at home, but you in the audience can see it. Check out who's also in the band. Mm. Oh, Richie Sambora. Right over there on the left. Or right. That is literally Richie Sambora. He asks her to come here during the middle of the song.
She does come there.
The stage.
She leaves
the stage mid-song.
Nope. Ladies.
To see him.
Ladies, learn a lesson from this movie.
She has no self-worth.
I know.
Travolta, who is not her exclusive boyfriend, is able to beckon her from the stage during a song she is singing. She jumps down happily in order to have a conversation with him.
And it's not the end of the song. No. It's clearly not the end.
Oh, no.
Can I just say, her low point to me is in the final performance, he tries to kiss the fancy woman.
Oh, yeah.
And she punches him in the eye. And how humiliating it is for the girlfriend. And he walks off stage. I swear to God, she goes, "Is your eye okay?" Like,
that's why I feel like Stallone is writing this as him. He's like, yeah, this is how women should be. This is like, this is so clearly from his point of view.
He's like, I just need some filler here. What would she say?
What's weird too is in the context of the movie, like, what does the fancy lady Laura want? Like, what does she want out of all this? Satan's Alley.
Well, she's like Gina Gershon in Showgirls. She is the villain of the movie, I feel like. Like, she has a very strange role. She is the challenge to him, or I couldn't, their meeting of him bursting into her dressing room.
Yes, amazing.
And like antagonizing her, and like she then becomes the thing he has to conquer or whatever. And then it turns into, you think it's going to be a love story, but then like it all falls
apart.
Find out that he's dating someone else. But here's what's weird about the movie, and I'd say this for John Travolta too, like everybody is constantly like shitting on people they want to be with and then inviting them to places after rehearsals or performances. Like, that to me was the entire movie.
We just fucked. Get over it. Come over to my house tonight. We're going to have cocktails. Okay?
Yeah. There's a lot of like invitations and then people not showing up for those events.
There's a lot of mid-scene emotional reversals. You know, like coming at it one way, and then I'm going to come at this a whole different way.
Right.
Because arguably, you would argue if they kept the Tony Manero from Saturday Night Fever. He is dating a girl from Brooklyn who wants him to like work for her dad's like shop or something like that. And she's like, give up your dream. You'll never make it as a dancer. And then he meets Fiona Hughes, and she's tough, but she's got it. And she kind of drives him to become himself. But technically, he just has a girl who's like, yeah, go for your dreams. And another one's like, fuck you, you're a piece of shit. And he's like, I like that one. I like the fuck you go, the piece of shit girl. Like it, yeah. He goes for the opposite girl.
Well, it's also weird because you see him really like going for his dreams and he'll knock on any door, even the Times Square agent.
So good.
Times Square agent. But then he's so obsessed with this idea of like people doing him favors, like he doesn't want to get into any of the shows because someone put in a good word for him, which seems like, well, you know, use whatever connections you have.
Like, wait, did that ever become? I can't remember. Did that become an issue? Like, did he find out she put in a good word for him or anything? Because it felt like it was.
I
set
think
up
he
for
did, like in the stairwell or something like that.
Because a lot happened in that word? Stairwell.
Well, I thought
he found out.
This production team only had the stairwell for like a good month of this whole filming.
My favorite thing in the stairwell is there's like a big emotional scene and then the camera just rises up and just catches like the director at the top of the stairwell like watching the entire thing. I heard it all.
It
but
rises,
that doesn't even really come into play.
It rises up and you see like 10 minutes of leather.
Yeah.
And then the beginnings of a beard.
Up his trench coat. Oh, speaking of coats, guys, do we like the homage to, he takes out the old Saturday Night Fever jacket. And he's like, this is old. And then he puts on like a Miami, and he makes like a Miami Vice jacket.
And it's just like, oh, that's sad. That other thing was so fun. And
yeah. Like, he wrecked the one thing that is like Superman. Again, to go back to Superman, because I also believe that whose bedroom? Oh, whose bedroom looked like a Superman set? Like when they like showed the bell. Oh, her Fiona's, bedroom.
Yeah.
Fiona's bedroom.
Yeah.
Didn't it like, wasn't it all like silver and stuff like that?
Oh, no. That was.
Rhinestone.
Rhinestone.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, hers was silver too.
There was something going on. There was two.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was like two willow trees on each side.
Yeah.
And just like a circular.
Yes.
Sponsoring today's show is Squarespace. They are the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. But you guys know that. You know why you know it? Because I'm always telling you that. So what's your problem? Why aren't you creating a website, okay? Is it because you're afraid they're not fast or easy or they don't have beautiful designs? Guess what? Wrong, wrong, wrong. They have 24/7 customer support too, okay? So you can get up at 4 in the morning, you could call these motherfuckers up and they'll be like, yeah, what's up? Let's talk about your website at 3:15 a.m., okay? They also support a drag and drop interface. So those of us who don't know how to, you know, develop a web page can also create a beautiful website. I wish I had Squarespace when I first started out in this game. You know why? Because I had the idea for Netflix, but I didn't know how to code for shit. It could have been me making all that money, that Ted Sarandos dollar bills, y'all. I could have had all that money. But guess what? I didn't create Netflix, and now I'm doing a podcast for free. The choice is yours, people. Be a multimillionaire with a giant corporation that trades very high on the stock market or do a free podcast. People, it's a very simple choice. Plans start at $8 a month and include a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So for a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code June, that's J-U-N-E, at checkout. Because a better website, wait for it, starts with your website. We've got Warby Parker sponsoring today's episode of How Did This Get Made? Warby Parker was founded with a rebellious spirit and a lofty objective. Now, check it out. They wanted to create boutique-quality, classically crafted eyewear at a revolutionary price point. Let me tell you something. They succeeded. Warby Parker is the new way to shop for eyewear, and they've got the coolest selection of vintage-inspired glasses, and guess what? They're all available to you online. Now, let's be reasonable. Glasses should not cost as much as an iPhone. Warby Parker's prescription glasses start at, get this, under $100, about 95 bones. And their titanium collection starts at $145. That includes the prescription lenses, okay? Their at-home try-on program is amazing. So order 5 pairs of glasses. They're shipped directly to your house. You try them on in the comfort of your own home. You get feedback from your friends, your family, your colleagues. You keep the frames for 5 days, and you send them back using the prepaid return shipping label, and there's no obligation to purchase. It's just that easy. So if you need glasses, guess what? You need Warby Parker. And now they have this really cool thing. It's called progressive lenses. And they're the kind, you know, with the distance prescription at the top of the lens and the transition to the reading lens near the bottom. These are made digitally, so they're super precise. So support our show by ordering your next pair of glasses online today at warbyparker.com/how. And you'll receive a free expedited 3-day air shipping on them glasses. So check it out. It's warbyparker.com/how. People, four eyes, get these glasses. What were they talking about? Like Fiona
in the general?
Whole
movie?
Like no, like Fiona.
Because it's a legit question applied to the whole movie. What were they talking about?
Because they literally, like, there's a montage of them just like walking through New York, chatting.
Yep.
It's like these two people have nothing to say to each other.
They, in fact, have previously had only contempt for each other. Although he did say to her, after kind of like all of his come on lines didn't work, and she slammed the door in his face, and he opened the door back up because he will not take no for an answer. He says, "The thing is, I respect your dancing talent, and I respect your womanhood."
What does that mean? What does he mean when he
your
says that?
Your womanhood.
What is that?
That she can have babies and she has different organs than him. I mean, I don't know.
I think he was trying to say is like, I respect you as a colleague, but I also respect you in a romantic way as well.
Yeah.
Like, I respect like your skills and all that, but I want you to know I also respect what you're giving me just right here.
To me, it feels like it's almost like I respect that you're weaker and trying your best. And, like, I won't take advantage.
Right,
like,
and you have a limited shelf life as a dancer.
I respect your talent. I also respect your womanhood and how it lessens your talent.
Well, see, to me, it would have made more sense if she had been, like, a by-the-book dancer. Like, if she had been, like, someone who, you know, was obsessed with all the counts and all like the steps, and he was coming in and being all loosey-goosey, but was all passion and emotion.
I feel like that's what, her being British was part of that.
Okay.
I feel like Stallone was like, her being British, everybody's going to think she's uptight and fancy.
Yeah.
Well, he literally doesn't character? He say that she's as a British. Line. He's like, oh, she, her accent, it makes her so smart. Yeah. Like, you know, like he's so blown away by that. But it does. But
she
nothing
says
makes
to
sense.
Jackie, I mean, you're right. He does tell Jackie, like, basically, I'm in love with this other woman.
Yes.
He cannot stop talking about her.
Can I show you guys just for a second my favorite scene in the movie? This is when Travolta finds out that he got it. He got the part. Here it is, right here. So he's living in a flop house.
We should set it up a tiny bit.
Yes.
He lives in a gentleman's hotel.
Yes.
So that is like a...
Where he beats his wife beaters in the shower,
yep.
Keeping them clean.
And all, it's like, it's populated by bums, basically.
Yeah.
He basically, lives in a flop house.
Meanwhile, he can walk home at any point. He can live with his parents, no problem.
Yep. Nope, he's gotta live in Manhattan.
Have two jobs.
And so he's pacing around in the common room,
yes.
Where all the weirdos who also live there are sitting around.
He's waiting for the phone to ring. This is just after the phone. He's waiting for the phone to ring, and it finally does. And this is him celebrating that he got the part. Here we go.
Oh, wait.
Yes.
Do you have the phone call itself?
I believe so, yes.
Okay,
here we go.
I want you to really just pay attention to the pace of this phone call.
Also, I know it's tough to imagine, but he's literally holding a radio in his hand like a cell phone. That's not a phone that he's on. He's just really grooving out to music that close to his ear. So here we go.
Yes, yes, this is Tony Manero. Are you kidding? Hold on a second, turn down the radio! Yes, I got it. You kidding me?
Wait a second.
That was just half of it, just a little bit of it.
I just, if he if he says turn down the radio, what was it? So he has a radio in his hand that's not operating as a phone or the overall radio?
That radio was the radio he needed radio. To be turned down.
His radio, which was playing Frank Stallone music, which was the same song that he thought the night before. Like, there's no delineation. Frank Stallone, I guess, is very
the
popular.
The macro music for the scene, the soundtrack music for the scene, is revealed in that phone call section to be diegetic to the scene itself. Right?
Yeah.
I used that right, right?
Yeah, I think you did. I don't even
Thank
know
you.
How that was right or wrong.
So he's holding like a speaker? What is he holding?
He's like holding a
like
radio,
a
transistor radio.
Okay. I still don't understand.
But he says, the other person on the other line has had no opportunity to
None.
Say any words. And he says, hello? Yes, this is Tony Manero. Hold on a second. Turn down the radio. What? I got it? Oh, I can't believe it.
And then
all at once.
The other, just talking about songs and music purveying, this is the thing that blew my mind. Because it's so kind of big. Okay, the movie opens with that amazing Frank Stallone song, and it looks like he is choreographing a dance to that song for a play that's not Satan's Alley. The finale song of Satan's Alley is the same song from the beginning. Like, you would think
that they were auditioning for Satan's Alley.
Or that you would just say, like, let's do a different song. Like, let's not bookend the movie with the same song. It's two very different parts, right? I mean, is that weird?
I would love to hear you talking about this with Sylvester Stallone during production. Do you know what I mean? When he's
we
like,
can't replay your brother's songs four times.
The song is good. It's all Moog arpeggios and a sweeping sound. It's perfect. Plus, it says this is the end, so it should be at the end too.
But I really feel like they should have kept that song for the end. It would have had like an impact, but to open and close with it in two dancing scenes that are unrelated to each other is weird.
That scene also to me is so like a glimpse of like the worst. It seems like to me it's like a story of like the average monster in Los Angeles. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't root for that person. Like, I don't know.
No.
Like, him, if I saw that, if I was sitting in that room and some guy was pacing because he was obsessed with like getting this moment of fame, like, and just pacing and screaming, I don't know. I would just be like, this is a lunatic.
I wrote down, is this guy sympathetic? He's not.
No. Oh, no.
Oh, heavens no. Oh, heavens no.
Even when he tries to go home and apologize to his mother and be like, I acted like an asshole, I want to apologize. She's like, fuck you. She's basically like, fuck you, don't apologize. Being a bastard is what got you out of this neighborhood. And he goes, so you're telling me being a bastard is what's going to get me ahead? She's like, yup. And he's like, okay, no lessons to learn here. Behaving like
also
a piece of shit is going to be my MO.
Yep. Or I think it would have even been sympathetic to see that he loved to dance. Mm. Yep. Like, I never really felt like, I mean, look,
he says it.
Well, then there you go. But I feel like
no, but this is more of like he wants fame.
Yeah.
He wants
fame.
He does.
Like, there's no,
that's like
there's
the
no
jerk
part
off
of
in
him
the
that's
moment.
Just like, I'm in it for the art. Like, he just wants the fame of it all. The fame of being a Broadway dancer.
Because even when, because his
contemporary
success,
dance.
Yeah.
Contemporary
his
dance.
His success isn't enough. Like, he succeeds and gets in the show.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's great.
But then he has to challenge the lead of the show to become the lead of the show. That's not even enough. He then has to throw away the female lead to improvise a solo, which gets a standing ovation.
Which, by the way, I still feel like, you know, just his trajectory as a dancer after this movie. I know he did a strut and everything, but I don't think he'll work again. Like,
he's going to be clearly kicked out of a union. The union will not let that happen.
He shoves his other lead across the stage and dances by himself. Like,
and
that's crazy.
There's no reason for it, because you would argue, like, okay, they, like, when he first starts dancing with her, she doesn't trust him. And then they show in the rehearsal footage that, with a very long rehearsal footage, literally the last half hour is all dancing. that she starts to come over to his side. And then in the show, they seem to be working together as a team. And at that point, he's like, get the fuck out of here. It's not like she doesn't betray him on stage besides punching him after she kisses him.
No, she does. No, no. I think the reason he chucks her is because in the middle of the show, she says, you don't have it.
Oh, right.
She says, you don't have it. And I feel like the chucking her was his way of being like, I'll show you. But if you think about it, I think correctly, he is the villain of the movie.
Yes.
So whose movie is it? Whose movie is it then? Is Jackie the star?
Jackie should be the protagonist.
So maybe like when he walks out the door at the end and announces that he has to strut, she's finally free. She can move on with her life.
But in fact, will probably kill herself. just kidding. She'll be in Flashdance. It's fine.
Did you guys, what'd you guys think of Patrick Swayze? Boom.
Is he in the movie?
What? He was in the movie right here. You can check him out. Patrick Swayze is a background dancer who is dressed in a weird half shirt with white suspenders.
He played the Oompa Loompa.
Looking like a glistening Corey Feldman.
Here's what's weird about this movie is that there is something so inherently sympathetic about a chorus line dancer. Like, what they're put through and having to learn. I mean, there's also something so...
Somebody should write a play about that.
But truly, like, they're cut right away. Like,
it would never catch on.
Truly, like, you automatically sympathize with these people. So you do have to go a long way to make him unsympathetic. And they do. And they do.
They succeed, very quickly. I caught something that I don't know if you caught.
I think if we're going to the same place. Are we going to the same place?
Right before the show starts?
Oh, yep, got it. All right, go. Please.
Are you going to play it?
But yeah, so you can.
And I only caught it because I happened to be watching the movie with subtitles on or whatever. So I read it because otherwise I would not have caught it.
I had to rewind it because, like, wait a second.
Okay, so they're going around being like, 5 minutes or whatever, 2 minutes to show or whatever, okay? Ba 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 ba. And then somebody, a bunch of people run through frame and somebody goes, yo, hey, yo, Adrian, showtime.
Yo, Adrian, showtime. Amazing.
Yo, Adrian, showtime.
I also want
this movie.
Did you guys also catch during intermission when, like, it had gone so well? I guess the first half of the show, they sort of did maybe it was after the show, and you know the audience was giving standing ovations, and they sort of panned over all of the dancers in the dressing room celebrating, and one dancer just threw her bra on top of the other dancer's face.
No.
Yes, like a gigantic bra. I couldn't
wait.
Tell if
how
someone,
gigantic?
I couldn't tell if someone had thrown it on her or if she had taken it and thrown it on her own face. Like, see, it's so strange.
In what kind of ridiculous movie do I not even notice that? You know what I mean?
Like, that just wasn't
like
even
any
a thing
normal
for
movie.
You.
I'd be like, what the fuck? But that didn't even like pass through my brain.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's a dance thing. At the end of a successful show, everybody put your bra on your head.
I do have a question about Broadway stuff again, and I'm opening up to all of you. In a Broadway show, does the director or choreographer stand in the booth with the lighting tech and go, give me a spotlight now, bring down the lights, give me a wash?
As I know,
like, he was calling.
That's the role of a stage manager.
But he was calling it as if he was improvising it too. He's like, spotlight now, give it a spotlight. Like, he was like creating it on the spot. Like, it was that was the most insane thing I've ever seen, like, to give him a role. Like, that would have been done in tech long ago.
Nothing in this movie, like, you see an hour of rehearsals, and nothing would have prepared you for this final show, because nothing links up to anything you saw beforehand.
There's not, like, you know, not to go Dirty Dancing, but there's not, like, one move you're worried about, or there's nothing you're connected to.
There's no conflict. I mean, really, there's no conflict. The only thing that happens is, like, he's a guy who can't catch a break, he catches a break, and he was right all along. Like, I mean, like, there was no, like, he's like, if only I caught a break, then I'd be the biggest hit on Broadway. He catches a break, and he's the biggest hit on Broadway. Like, nothing really happens.
No. What happens is he happens to all the other people in the movie. The conflict is between those poor people and this sociopath that is ruining their lives. His mother is like, how did he learn to do this? What? Nobody cares about him.
So John Travolta is quoted as saying that Stallone is his favorite director because he knew how to make him look best on screen.
So fuck you, Quentin Tarantino.
I will say he looks super
hot.
He looked
amazing.
His body was rocking.
It's insane.
There you go. Then you guys agree.
So best director.
Here are the two taglines of the movie. I just want to read them because they're pretty fucking amazing. This is the tagline, how they sold the movie. Tony Manero knows the old days are over, but no one's going to tell him he can't feel that good again.
See, that's interesting.
Hey, bro. Are you going to see Staying Alive, Man?
Well, I don't know. What's it about?
Oh, dude. Well, the tagline says it all.
Here's another one. It's 5 years later for Tony Manero, and the fever still burns.
That's like...
That one is really upsetting to me.
See a doctor.
Like that... I saw the movie. I just didn't feel like the fever was still burning.
Yeah. Gosh. Well, I feel like this might be a good time to talk to everybody in the audience, because I'm sure I see people with sheets of paper out here. You guys have questions. We'll probably have some answers for them.
I have. While you get ready and walk out, I have a request for you guys or the internet nerds. There's a lot of slow-mo dancing. Where everybody's faces look like sex faces. Everybody's dancing faces are horrible looking.
Yeah. You know,
so
while you're
do
talking
a super
about
cut.
It.
Oh, you got one?
Well, while you're talking about it, I'll just play it. Yeah.
So if somebody could make a super cut of all of the gross slow-mo sex faces. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, they're...
Jackie is hot. Look at him. Oh, yeah. He's...
This is them just hanging out, too.
She is a badass.
Yeah, she's cool.
Jackie is a fucking badass. She's my favorite person in this whole entire movie.
Yeah.
I want to see a spinoff with Jackie.
Yeah.
But yeah,
she married Richard Marx.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll
she
be
did like, she has like 7 credits and then married Richard Marx and then they got a divorce.
She got that sweet Marx money.
She got them Marx bucks.
Anybody have any questions? Things that we might have missed? Okay. I'm going to go to you because you have a sheet of paper in your hand. Oh, both of you have sheets of paper. Okay. Your name, your one-word review of Satan's Alley, and your question. Here we go.
My name is Ren. My one-word review of Satan's Alley is what the director said. Perfect.
Right. Love it. Here we go. What's your question?
So I came from Warsaw, Indiana to ask June this question.
Wow. Warsaw, Indiana. Here you go, June. You might get shot.
Terrified.
So, at the end of this movie, between the oiled-up John Travolta, very muscular, and Jim Varney from Ernest Goes to Jail. Let me finish. Which one of those two is more, as you would say, oozing sexuality?
Great question from Indiana. The question to June.
Yeah.
Who oozes more sexuality?
See, I think you know the answer. Jim Varney, I'll believe.
Is that real? You would take Jim Varney, Ernest, over like
I'm
the perfection of Travolta at this era.
This is what you have to understand. I agree that Travolta looks better in this movie. Of course he does. But the
you don't
sexuality
wanna fuck him.
That I'm interested in is not just about... The looks, like Varney as bad Ernest, is channeling something else. It's not just about the physical for me.
I feel like a woman in her 20s would choose John Travolta, but a grown woman would choose
Ernest. Okay, let's not age me, Katie. Yeah. Be very careful. Yeah. Be very careful.
I mean, Katie, say what you mean. A girl chooses John Travolta, a woman chooses him.
Thank you.
Would would this movie would have been better with Jim Varney, not as Ernest, just he got this script and he did it. What do you think? Would you like to? I think he could have done it actually. Jim Varney in the role of Tony Manero.
Jim Varney can do anything.
Oh, he has passed.
Could have done anything. Could have okay. done anything.
I will say again, this conversation is very upsetting.
Your name, a piece of advice for Tony Manero and your question. Here we go.
My name's Jay. My piece of advice is burn fire.
Great. I was wondering if that's where Artie Lang got fire from.
No, that's from AC/DC.
And first, I just want to know if you guys noticed that the costume for John Travolta in the end was a precursor to the Ultimate Warrior costume of the 90s.
Oh, it does look like the Ultimate Warrior costume. It's very similar without the face paint. But if you put face paint on him, that
Who's is... Who's the Ultimate Warrior?
From WWF.
Oh, yeah, okay. I knew that. I'm cool with wrestling.
Ultimate Warrior, RIP, much respect.
Oh, absolutely.
But I also wanted to ask if you guys would give the patented How Did This Get Made offer to have this group write the movie version of Satan's Alley.
Well, we could get into real rights problems.
I mean, we'd have to write it with our bodies because there are no words in Satan's Alley.
Well, it's one of those things that we could take the music from Frank Stallone. We could take what choreography we've seen in the movie, and we can extrapolate outwards and create something, I bet, pretty erotic. Like, really deep.
You'd have to find an actor that would shove people aside and choose his own adventure of a show.
I will say, if you're going to modernize this part, the only person that comes close to the ferocious male magnetism and dancing capabilities is Channing Tatum. I think.
Wow, now that's
I think
Magic Mike
so
2, Magic
that's
Mike 2, Satan's Alley. This could be
that's
it.
Channing Tatum
gets out of the strip club.
Satan's Alley.
Wait, I have a question about this. Okay, that show was a hit, right? Satan's Alley got a standing ovation. Now, does every night they do it again, does he push her out of the way? Like, do they go, well, we got to keep that because that's what people responded to? Or do they go back to the old way? Or does he just die? Because when he goes out to strut, he does disappear. Was he a ghost the entire time? Did he never exist?
That
Did he
would
die
be
on stage?
Amazing.
Like Black Swan, that was his final...
I wonder if they ever had an idea to make this a trilogy and what the third movie would have been.
Oh, man.
Breakdancing?
Beat Street. Okay, what is your name? What is another title for Staying Alive 2, or Staying Alive 1? And what's your question?
My name is Jordan. And actually, I was going to ask about the name of the movie Staying Alive. And I thought that the name should be from one of the many, many Frank Stallone songs. And so I was going to ask you guys, what do you think is the thematic significance of the title Staying Alive, considering
question.
It has about 30 seconds of playtime at the very end of the movie?
Ooh, great question. What? Well, I'm gonna gander a guess. You gotta stay alive to get these great parts. If you kill yourself, you're never gonna be on Broadway. That's just the facts.
Well, I guess I feel like it's probably just the thing that has name recognition for that character. So instead of calling it Saturday Night Fever again, they called it Staying Alive, linking the two, though, because that's the song from...
How about Sunday Matinee Fever? Sunday and Wednesday Matinee Fever.
Sunday Matinee Bronchitis.
To me, it's like trying to stay alive even with these dumb broads, trying to, like, keep you down.
That's what most movies are.
Mm.
Because they are life.
All right, your name, who would you cast as the lead role in this movie if you could recast it, and your question, go.
I'm Ronnie, I'm from Huntington Beach. I would definitely recast this role with Frank Stallone.
Current day?
Modern day Frank Stallone, obviously. My question is, he invited his mother to this movie with a Pulp Fiction-esque gimp costume montage in this? I saw that.
Well, yeah, they were all covered in leather. Well, you were just saying, well, is it appropriate to bring your mother to a show where there's people in gimp
costumes? Well, she has asked him not to take his clothes off. And he definitively takes his clothes off in this movie. Which never gets commented. There's a lot of setup for jokes. Like, here's one. He never gets a message. He asks the guy at the front desk like a dozen times, any messages? Never once does he get a message. Because when the call comes, guess what? He's there.
Well, I mean, there's a really funny joke in it. Like, when he's really upset, like, he gets bumped by this, like, real rich, cool Italian guy, Sylvester Stallone. You guys remember that part?
No, where was that?
Wait, you don't remember that Stallone was in this movie?
No.
Oh, I gotta play that clip. I have that clip.
I missed it.
Oh, it's the best, most unnecessary cameo.
How is he dressed, sir?
He's dressed like Kraven the Hunter.
All right, I'm gonna play it.
That's awesome.
June's gonna cue it up. This is the best. You'll see it. We have the sound off, so you can just have to watch. There, boom. Blink and you miss it.
Totally missed it.
All right, let's
see. Can I just point out the real-time shooting of him going from point A to point B? It felt like we saw him walking for 30 minutes.
Everything was real-time.
Yeah. This movie reminded me how disgusting New York was. Like, it really looked gross. All right, how are you, sir? All right, your piece of advice to Tony Manero, your name and your question. Here we go.
My name's Tony. My piece of advice is stop being a dick to everyone.
Okay.
And stop stealing my name, please. And now, Satan's Alley is also the name of the fake movie in Tropic Thunder that Robert Downey Jr.'s character is in with Tobey Maguire. Is that movie in a movie an adaptation of this show or vice versa?
Boom, mind explosion. Amazing question. Question of the night. The fact that anyone's raising their hand means they can beat that? Great observation. Wow, three positive arguments. Let's see. Beat it.
Okay, my question is, given that this movie was so, like a 90-minute music video and so dreamlike and ended at the same note as Saturday Night Fever begins, do you think it's plausible that this movie was just a dream?
Oh, is it? You're positing this is a Jacob's Ladder scenario?
And then Tony just wakes up and he's like, time to go to my job at the paint store.
You know, well, that actually feeds into what I think, because he disappears. Like, he literally disappears. Like, that, I'm not making that up. He disappears.
It does feel, here's the thing, it feels at the end of the movie like he's not going to return to this show. He's not going to return to dance. Like, he's walking into another, like,
dimension.
Kind of like there's a sense of like, I'm leaving everything behind and I'm just going to continue strutting.
Like the third movie just picks up with him walking into becoming like a beekeeper or
something.
Exactly.
Like there's going to be no connection.
Wait a second.
We just watched.
What if he was beamed up by the race of aliens from Battlefield Earth? And he starts a whole new planet. This may be a prequel to Battlefield Earth.
They were watching Earth and were like, he is clearly its highest form.
He showed all those rat brains what dance is for.
He renounced all of the weaker sex and succeeded only on his own. We will take him. Now Ron Hubbard demands it.
Sir, you have a question?
I want to address I have feelings for the Bee Gees. They wrote like five or six new songs, and yet all their songs are kind of used in all the wimpy dialogue moments, and then like it's Frank Stallone all over. Are the Bee Gees, were they like the abused first wife? Like and now and Frank Stallone is the trophy songwriter?
I can't see, but is that a member of the Bee Gees asking that question?
Barry Gibb, get out of here.
Without a doubt, I'll set this up. Obviously, we have an opinion about this movie, but now it is time for a second opinion. These are 5-star reviews that were pulled from Amazon. I actually pulled a couple because they're so fucking good. One of the best ones. All right, this one is it's titled Andy Warhol Loved It by Unlucky Frank. And this is just a part of his gigantic post. If you appreciate Kama Sutra paintings, you're going to love this flick. The routines are sexual. There are tons of tight butts, legs, and thighs floating through the shots. Reason enough to give this 5 stars. Now,
I love that he delineates paintings. Kama Sutra paintings.
This one, I think, goes to answer your question about staying alive. This is titled Good Movie. He did give it 5 stars, though. It's good. By Edwin Perla. And he writes, it is a great musical movie about something that happens every single day in everybody's life.
What?
And you
what?
Can learn how to stay alive.
So, for this person, this movie is a how-to.
How? It's a resource. Wow.
Oh, fuck. Wait. Hold on. Shit. I feel on the verge of death. Put Staying Alive in.
Oh, my God.
I need to remind myself how to do this. All right.
Oh, my God.
Now, Jason...
Yes,
you, you joke, but S. Bogus writes Staying Alive to Stay Alive, continues this thought by saying, watching, exercising to both soundtracks of Saturday Night Fever and Staying Alive with John Travolta would definitely make the change of many lives. If you have not danced to one of the songs per day... You would not need any weight loss. You would not need any over-the-counter medications or supplements. I watched this, and having lived those days, it's amazing how music was the cure to everything. Overall, great health. Many obese persons would never have weighed heavier than the normal muscular body mass of one that is structurally built. It's a fun dancing experience that might help with depression. I would send a major recommendation to just work out to one of these songs by dancing when you have a few moments alone. Or Paul, not. Daily. Nice.
Paul, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you have one of these songs on your computer?
I do.
Would you cue it up?
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Everybody up. Everybody needs this exercise. You podcast listeners are disgusting human beings.
We're all
gonna
take...
So this isn't for us. This is for everybody. We're all going to get up and dance to this.
All right, ready? Here we go.
Let's go. Get up!
Okay. I know you right now are listening to the podcast going, what is happening? Basically... a full-on dance routine is breaking out. So just picture me, June, Jason, and Katie Dippold dancing on stage aggressively. This is the end. Reminder, you're not really this. Punch the person next to you. Knock them down. Take the stage.
Lift someone. I'm kidding. Don't do that.
In the middle, you guys fucking dance.
I am
amazing. Wow. What an amazing love story between the two of you. I really got it now. I really understood it.
That one was a big fuck you to the podcast listeners.
And
what's going on? What's going on?
Not
what's going
on?
To
edit doing? It out. I'm leaving that in. Here we go. And so he concludes by saying, if you do that, amazing results will come naturally. Try to treat your body as what you expect from it, and overall terrific health. What would it hurt to try?
You guys, seriously, I am realizing that a lot of people found this movie not having any understanding of, like, the song Staying Alive or the cultural reference, like, just literally saw it in the library or the video store.
Wait. In a library?
That's the first place?
Honestly, yes. I feel like both of these gentlemen found this movie in the library. In the library. Okay. I'm dead serious. And are deeply troubled.
Well, one guy was like, there's lots of close-up pictures of butts and stuff.
And thighs.
They were like, you're going to have to bring that back.
And it's really quite sad, though. They just saw the title and thought, I need this.
They thought of it as like a self-help tape.
Yes.
The final
it's really dark.
The final 5 out of 5 star review is one of my favorites. This is actually the review is the VHS tape, not the DVD.
Oh no!
Pity the people who use VHS.
It was only 2001. Aww. It was only 2001.
Oh, that poor person doesn't have a Blu-ray.
This is written in all caps. I will not read it yelling, though. I fail to understand why so many people slate this movie. Hey, yes, the script is not written in any way to reflect an intellectual plot or a masterpiece. The journey of the character played by John Travolta is only skin deep. But how much can you go in 2 hours? A lot of movies would disagree.
And plus, how much can you go in 2 hours?
I work as a professional actor / dancer, having qualified from one of the top academy in the world. And I have met and worked with Sly, and no other filmmaker can give an audience an adrenaline rush like this. The film inspired me throughout my time at drama school. It inspires me. It's honest. It's real in observing the mechanism one goes through to succeed. Yes, it speeds it up a bit, but it's a film for God's sake. It's escapism. The ideology of a guy wanting to be in a Broadway show and how he gets there is full of conviction for me. Get this movie onto DVD quick. It's simply the best for any aspiring dancer and actor to draw inspiration from. Honest. Experience it! So he is using that as a manual for success.
Everybody's getting so much life-affirming content from this movie, which is about a monster destroying the lives of those around him in order to succeed.
Yeah, but day by day, did he not stay alive?
You got me there, June.
You could argue he started the movie alive and finished the movie alive, so he did it. Is there anything else we'd like to chat about? Anything that we missed? Anything from the audience? Did we miss anything that you? There's a glaring. All right, this guy says there's a glaring thing that we missed. It's better be good. Here we go. Go for it.
It's actually not from the movie, but I wanted to. Did you guys know that this was a Choose Your Own Adventure book? It was made into a Choose Your Own Adventure book.
What? Hold on. Let's all leave right now and go to eBay.
Look at me. Look what I'm doing.
It's, all right.
I am
eBay. You have a picture of it? He has a picture of it. You're starting up your phone. But so it's a choose-your-own-adventure book So do you, I guess you can like fall in love with Jackie, or you can treat her like shit.
I think the only option is you treat her like shit. That's the only.
Don't take no for an answer. Go to page 36. Don't take no for an answer.
I bet
turn the all page. The,
all like all the options are like that scene in Terminator where it's like someone knocks on the door and it's like, fuck you, asshole. It's all like, tell someone to go to hell or tell someone to fuck off. I'm gonna look at the. Well, this is amazing.
I imagine some chapters end just like, fuck you, you'll go to page 25.
He yells at you, go back, you made the wrong choice.
If you're a man, choose whatever page you'd like. If you're a woman, turn the next page, dummy.
Which...
It's not on eBay currently.
Which leads me to my question, like, literally, who is this movie for? I mean, a Choose Your Own Adventure book is for children, right? I mean... Is this for children? Like, should children be reading a Staying Alive, Choose Your Own Adventure?
Yes. In a word, yes. I read all the Magnum P.I. Choose Your Own Adventures. Worth it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, anything else from you guys? Anything else at all? Oh, my gosh. You guys. Okay, well, geez. Oh, we have two more from the crowd. We don't know if we're doing this. Here we go. What do you got? Come to me.
I would just like to point out that if you hunt around on YouTube, you can find a great making of featurette featuring Stallone and Travolta, and you asked who this movie is made for. The host of that little piece is Geraldo Rivera.
Get back out, leave again. We got homework.
I do want to say this. Our audiences are the fucking best.
You guys
do fucking the research. Get it. I feel bad for your lives, but you get it.
Would you recommend yes. Watching this movie?
100%.
Instantly.
Yeah.
I would not only recommend getting it, but searching Frank Stallone and getting that album. I literally can't stop listening.
Please fuck to this tonight. Please. You're here with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or somebody that's, it's a date, you whatever. Go home and be like, well, I said fuck to it. Should we fuck? Yes. Fuck to it and tell us about it on the message boards.
You weirdos. I'm going to argue and I say it's a better finger bang song.
Five more movies.
Oh. I am... So sorry, June.
Okay.
I am so sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Well, we
this
have fun.
This is for me like a top 10 how did this get made movie.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, it was a huge hit, by the way. And that, well, thank you guys for coming. That's it. That's our show. We did it. It was great. Thank you. Thank you, Katie Dippo. Give it up. Thank you guys so much for coming out. Well, we definitely did it. That was another live episode live from Largo. If you want to come see us at Largo, go to largo-la.com. See us on September 20th. It's a Saturday, 8 and 10 p.m. shows. We got Glitter and LOL back to back. Big hand for Katie Dippold. She's an amazing, talented writer. She's written on... Parks and Recreation, of course, wrote the hilarious movie The Heat and is doing so many more cool things that are probably secretive and I can't share with you. But you can follow her on Twitter. You can follow Katie Dippold. You can follow me at Paul Scheer. You can follow June at Miss June Diane. And of course, Jason is still not on Twitter. But you can tweet things at Jason at HDTGM. That's right. That's our How Did This Get Made Twitter account. We read a bunch of stuff there. We retweet. We do a bunch of, I don't know if we do a bunch of stuff, but we look at it. We retweet. We have fun with it. And we have a Facebook page. Check us out there. And if you feel like we missed anything, that we didn't cover something to your liking, you can always go to earwolf.com, go to the message boards, and leave it for our mini episodes where we get into it in corrections and omissions. These are things that we might have missed that we didn't talk about. I will address them in the mini episode. So you have all that to look forward to. And guess what? While you're at it, buy a shirt. That's right. You can buy a shirt, a How Did This Get Made Daredevil-inspired shirt at earwolf.com. Forgot about one, didn't you? forgot all about it. Okay, and reminder to watch Jason and myself on The League every Wednesday night. That's right, every Wednesday at 10 p.m. on FXX. And June will be on the fourth episode of the show. So be Jason, June, and me all in one episode. It's a How Did This Get Made episode of The League. And a big thank you to July Diaz, who recorded the episode. Amazing job. Amazing. And everybody who helps us out, I'm talking about Leanna Waldron, who does all of our graphics. I'm talking about Avril Haley, who does all of our amazing clip pulling. I'm talking about Nate Kiley, who gets all the research done. I'm talking about all these people, because I love all these people. They're so good. And of course, Katie Dyer, who helps us out with the social media aspect of the show. All right, everybody, that was a lot of fun. Have a great day.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf dead.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I love Squarespace. I've built all my websites on Squarespace because it is the all-in-one platform that helps me build my brand for my podcast. It helps grow the brand. And what's so great about it is you don't have to be a designer. No, 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 no. You can get a beautiful website. You can engage with your audience and you can sell anything, your products, your content, and even your time. You have member areas where you can basically have like a gated community. You can let people in. You can have videos behind there. This whole summer, you can maybe decide to share a newsletter with your followers. And guess what? Squarespace makes it easy for you to do. I mean, I would like to maybe have a tour update. Maybe I would just send out an email like, hey, this is what happened last night. Here's some photos. That would actually be a great idea. Maybe we should do that through Squarespace. Anyway, you can also now create pro level videos because Squarespace has a video studio app. Yeah, they are stepping up their game and they already were great. Go to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.